And so we approach the last lecture of this ACC. The 20th lecture. I'm going to talk about the plan of clearing as it pertains to the running of engrams, PCs, and Scientology. At this stage, the state of mind you're in with regard to clearing may very well be soggy or very hopeful, or there may be considerable reality. The other day, one of your instructors had a PC suddenly look at a somatic in a roaring engram, and then say, "But it just disappeared, just like that." What? He'd crossed the bridge, the make-break point of a case. This person was running a roaring, hot engram. I think he's possibly ordered to this person. I don't know for sure. Probably around 20 hours or something like that. 25 hours, maybe. And this person had crossed the make-break point. By confronting a hot, roaring somatic, just by confronting it in the incident, it went... Great surprise reigned on all hands. Now, what's that all about? That is the PC's ability to confront. Had reached a point where we were getting a disintegration of other determinism on a sort of a geometric progression. Every time they did it better. And every time they did it better. And suddenly, it hit the point of case where it just started going, "Ah, where's some more engrams? Where's some more engrams?" Look at the auditor, you know. "You better be good or I'll confront you." Now, you've seen the elephant. You've for sure seen the elephant. You've seen an engram in full cry, with its other determinism on full and victimizing the living daylights out of the prickler. But how about seeing the monster? That's the PC, of course. At the moment this starts to occur, you find yourself looking at the PC. It's the first time you ever saw the PC. The first time anybody else has for, basic personality rampant. Crossed sabers on an atomic bomb. Lions, leopards, 40 lions, leopards, count them, 40, rampant. Now, the question that you must ask yourself at this time, you know how rough it was looking at the elephant. But how about seeing the monster? Do you think you can take that? Do you know there's some of you who might not be able to? And going through a nice non-committal sort of thing. He's been racing some engrams. Everything's been going along all right, very nicely, and been improving their ability to confront. And, of course, a Thetan is a little daisy that grows fragilely in the field, and it's all very sweet and nice. And this little preclair's been sitting there being a very good preclair. And all of a sudden, they confront a somatic, and it goes, and they say, "What? What? You mean I can do that?" Bring on the enemy. You know, along about that point, an auditor cuts and runs. Do you know that they've done so? PC was getting too well. And always before, when the PC got a little better and they dropped the ashtray, you see, kicked the E-meter, fell out of their chair, let the window drop, left the room for 10 or 15 minutes while the PC was still in the incident, the PC just sank back to apathy, you see, nicely and pleasantly. When they muffed an origin and didn't patch up an ARC break, why, just nothing happened. You know? And they were always able to recover themselves well. Nothing to it. They recovered themselves well. The PC sank back into apathy. Nothing bad happened. No monster appeared. And after they've gone across this bridge, you drop an ashtray, they say, "Listen here, you ready fool." "Huh?" You say, "Is that an ARC break?" They say, "Well, it might be for you." And that's the end of that. Because truthfully, if you parked them after they've crossed the bridge, I don't ever advise you to do this. This is not procedure in any way. But if you sort of parked them after they'd crossed that bridge, the make-break point of the case, I don't think anybody could stop them blowing through the clear in the next year, two or three. They just would. They all of a sudden changed their minds. Now, the monster period, as we shall call it, folds up rather rapidly. Folds up. It's a period of obsessive overtness. You want to keep this PC from going around and unmocking banks and the government and so forth for a little while until you get them over the period. Get the idea? Get them up. Up. Don't go letting them around. It's very bad, really. You get a person up so they're almost making it, and then they decide to tackle everything they think has been tackling them in the present time environment. Why, they could start more fights than you and the PC can handle for just ages. Now, they don't always go over this period into that sort of an attitude of mind, but they can. And your job is to bring them on up the tone scale. Now, you're watching for the first time, you will see it for the first time, you are watching the whole PC in PT go up the Science of Survival tone scale. The whole PC, not just his moods, you know. You've seen the whole critter. He comes up the tone scale, and he goes right on up the tone scale. You want to know what you do after you do lots of confronting and erasure of engrams and so forth? Well, it doesn't much matter what you do. Now, if you want to speed up clearing up to a higher level, you go on processing them. It's sometimes a little hard to hold on to them. they blow out of intensives. That is to say, they'll finish an intensive and they say, you're supposed to come back next week, and they've got so much to do. They've got so much to do. Life is so much fun, and they've got so much to do, and they've got to get all these things done, and they just think this is wonderful, and they haven't felt this good for ages and ages and ages, and they don't realize they're still in a fragile frame of mind. They can go out and tackle this, that, and the other thing, fall on their faces a little bit, and crunch down, and stumble, and roam around, and upset things. They're not working yet on an optimum solution anywhere nearly, you see. I want to give them a word of warning about this point. The management, mainly the auditor, is not responsible for the mayhems, successes, and so forth, which occur during one of these periods. It is responsible totally for keeping the PC in the intensive rather than in the session and carrying on with his processing, and a word of warning can be issued by the auditor at that time. Now listen, son, don't get too rambunctious. Let's not go caroming about, shall we? Let's sort of hold the fort here a little bit and sort of get accustomed to this new rarefied air that you seem to be sniffing with such glee. You're not going to collapse in this state. Nothing bad is going to happen to you, but I want to get you all the way up before I turn you loose. This has been one of the major problems of processing which only very good auditors ran into. They'd lose people. They'd be processing somebody who was not, in actuality, who was not a Scientologist, who did not know much about the subject, knew very little. As a matter of fact, there are a tremendous number of people in the world today who know nothing about Dianetics or Scientology, but have been my pre-clears. They knew nothing about getting clear. They knew nothing about these things. They've been carefully isolated. And with amazement, once in a while, I find in CF one of their names suddenly turn up. They have approached the thing on a quite oblique fashion. One day they run into me, and are they surprised? Oh, is that who you are? You know, that sort of action. You know? Yeah, I might have figured so. How you doing, Rob? You know? This sort of an action. But these people have a parallel in pre-clears that you're processing who have no education or background or stability in the subject. And these people have no data. They are without data. They have power. That is to say, they have energy. They have enthusiasm. They have all sorts of things. But there's something on the order of a very stupid strong man, you know. There he is. He's flexing the biceps and all that sort of thing. But you ask him, now, your wages are so-and-so, aren't they? And he says, yes. And you say, well, all right, I'll give you half of your wages now, and you give me a quarter of what I gave you later, and then later on you give me another quarter, and you will have been paid your wages. Isn't that so? And he says, well, I guess if you say so, that's so. All right. Yeah, all right. He doesn't see anything wrong in it. He thinks there's something a little odd here, but he thinks, well, it's all right. It's stupid. Even though this person blows totally clear, they don't know as much about life as you do. And don't you make the mistake of downgrading yourself. You're always downgrading yourself. You don't realize how much more you know than the other fellow who's walking down the street on the same sidewalk. Well, it's all right for you not to realize it with regard to the world at large. That's all right. You see, with knowledge, there always comes a little humbleness, some perspective. You know, the most important people in the world are the most stupid. Quite remarkable. If you ever ask a cat, what was the most important thing in the whole world, it would look at you and he'd say, wow. Wow. Me. The dumber they are, the more important they get. That's quite wonderful. And the smarter you get, the less important. Up to the time when you're also smart and cleared. And now you can assume some proper perspective with regard to you and everything else. But when you're merely well-informed and bright and so forth, you begin to believe, you see everything in perspective, and you don't think you're the most important person on earth. You leave that up to the coal man or something like that, you know. You'd be fascinated. That's a darndest study. I conducted a study on this. It's the relative importances of various levels of intelligence. One of the wildest things I ever did. I really probed down deep. And I finally found the most important person in the household. Easily the most important person in the household. And, according to own belief, the most informed, the smartest, the best adapted, the most capable person in the whole household was an old lady who used to come in and wash the floors for us. Ran the whole place. Nothing moved without her say-so. That was the subjective view. In the objective view, she was always falling over her mop bucket, roaming downstairs, trying to stuff wash clothes in the fridge. See, it was a colossal confusion, this character. The mother of calamity, I used to call her. Now, this is a weird contradiction. That person wasn't, but that person believed so. Now, as she became informed, as she came up the line, if she were being processed, she would eventually reach a point where she would get an adjustment of the importance of self relative to the environment, and she'd get some view of the environment, and her perspective would come back. But she would still be much more important than you are. Until she started to get some learning, until she started to get some understanding, until she had some data, she would have nothing on which to base a relative view. Now, you're ahead of that. You're ahead of that already. You've been ahead of that for a long time. You have very advanced views. In many ways, your views are quite impractical. They're for a world that would run well. And that's as it should be. And someday you come a cropper, however, and you say, well, this criminal, I could process him, and I could straighten him out, and then without processing him, you make your only mistake. You make sure he's turned loose. And then he comes back and stabs a poniard into your heart, see? In other words, in absence of actual processing, in absence of this, then you still have the world, its relative value, and disciplines. The only mistake you ever make is to say that your values would work without an alteration of man's state of case, you see, and that it isn't true. But you are far more practical than any dreamer who has been on earth so far, far, far more practical, because you at least realize you'd have to do something to the man. That's right, isn't it? And all other dreamers just thought they could put a perfect system in which would go where and with a delicate click fall into place. Most of them were thrown over the cliff by the madmen in charge. You get the idea? Well, you've not only got a chance of winning, you're winning. You're winning. So don't let anybody disturb your ideals or your views or your mild attitude. Don't let people disturb this, you hear me? Because people calling you impractical and that sort of thing would only be justified if man's nature couldn't be changed. Man's nature can be changed. Now, here you are in the process of changing man's nature in clearing somebody. And there is a period when his own strength is great and his boundaries are few. See, there is that period right in there. It constitutes no social danger. He is more pro-social at that time than he has ever been. He is less liable to commit damaging actions. What he is liable to do is quite the reverse, is engage on several activities. He's liable with great enthusiasm to throw himself up against a half a dozen ruddy windmills. And actually, he doesn't know it yet, but that's just kind of out of the next engram. You got the idea? He hasn't got his feet. He hasn't got a balance. He isn't obeying engrams to amount to anything, but his values still are not totally self-determined. He still has other determinism. He still has a balance, and more importantly than that, he has no yardstick whatsoever to measure his or anybody else's conduct by. Now, left to his own devices, this person, even totally cleared up, would simply be in good shape. He'd be in good shape, and you've actually made him younger by Lord knows how many years and richer by Lord knows how much experience. And you've put him in better shape than he used to be in when he was this strong, because now he knows something about life. He has experience, which he can use, which isn't just stimulus response experience. Experience is all right, unless it's for stimulus response and out of view. I'd like somebody to use some experience sometime that he knows nothing about, but is keeping in an engram bank. It can't be done. And this individual now needs a balance wheel. Definitely needs a balance wheel. A balance wheel of data and understanding. Now, if he was this bright, if he was this capable, you might say, or potential, his potential was as great as this eons and eons ago, then why did he go downhill? That's the question to ask. Now, why did he slide? Sure enough, a person who was clear has been clear before. Now, why did he skid? Well, he might have had experience, but the experience was never integrated. He never integrated his experiences. And from your point of view, I don't care what his IQ reads. The test only reads, let us say, 212, and he gets a reading of 390 on it. Who cares? It merely shows a potential. He's actually without a balance wheel. He has no data. He might be potentially very intelligent. He might be very clever. But he's just not smart. Get the idea? There's that missing thing of data, information, integration. You, unclear, could look at this person, integrate a human situation. I say you're always downgrading yourself. You very often clear somebody and then start asking him for data. You're real stupid to do that. Because the truth of the matter is, you can look at a human situation and you can go zip and zip and zip and add it up that, and the best thing to do about it is something else, and then you can be highly practical and straighten the thing out. Now, this person couldn't straighten it out. With great enthusiasm, he would get all forces out of communication simply by hitting them with no reality of tone, no reality of presence, and he'd just pass out of view, and the situation just pass out of view. Bunch of people are fighting, so he goes in with great enthusiasm. And he says, rah, 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 and rah, 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 and they say, rah, rah, rah. Clobber. Get the idea? I mean, he can only act. He cannot think and act, you see. His instincts are fine. Oh, he'll get along enormously better. Why don't you give an arithmetic problem to a kid sometime who doesn't know any arithmetic, huh? Well, it doesn't matter how bright this child is. He still won't add up the arithmetic. Got it? If he doesn't know arithmetic, he can't work arithmetic. If he doesn't know this culture, thinkingness, patterns, philosophy, and so forth, he can't work it out as a problem. All he can do is live it out. And that's what he's been trying to do for ages and ages and ages. Just sort of live it all out somehow or another. He can't work it out, so he's going to live it out. Therefore, he goes through this experience and that experience, hoping that some of this experience will do something. He never stands back with any yardstick and measures any of it. He doesn't know what to do with it after he's got it, so he balls it up and puts it in an engram bank. He doesn't know what his fellow man is all about. He doesn't know what his fellow man motes like. Possibly he could look over his shoulder and find out all these things, but he's in a brand new world, and every grain of sand is different than every other grain of sand. There are no yardsticks, there are no values. He doesn't know what to do about all this. Potentially, he's more ethical than he's ever been. But he still knows nothing of ethics, don't you say? Potentially, perhaps he's the greatest architect that ever lived. But he doesn't even know what a T-square is. You see? Now, of course, the idea of monster is used in a highly humorous sense. Because he's only a monster during the period when he's snorting and snarling and pawing the earth. Then he comes up and becomes a ruddy genius. But he's a genius without an education. And it's up to you to make sure he gets it. You hear me? It's up to you to make sure he gets it. The odd part of it is, if you remain half spun in and full of engrams and upset to the end of your days, you'd still be this person's senior. You always will be this person's senior. You can't help but be his senior. Got the idea? One, you've got the data. You've got the know-how. You've got the discipline to live. Completely aside from the fact that you're the one that took his switchboard apart, took the short circuits out of it, put it all together again and slammed it into his back, you know, and closed the door. Completely aside from that fact does not have much weight with a person. That isn't the fact that has weight. You might say, well, of course I straightened him out. Naturally, he's grateful. I refer you to Shakespeare on the subject of gratitude. He said it very well. And he said it so well that I don't think it ever has to be said again. No, gratitude, even in a clear, is nothing to count upon, believe me. You're his senior for this reason only. You're smarter than he is. You have more data than he is. It doesn't matter what his intelligence is on an IQ test or what yours is on an IQ test. You're still smarter than he is if he has no basic education. Now, you've just got to understand that, or you'll be so doggone flabbergasted sometimes you won't know whether you're coming or going. You'll say, what? And you'll begin to believe that you've created only a monster. You say, but this guy's a clear. He's totally brilliant. He has all the data in the world now. And that's the mistake you make right there. Yes, he's got terrific potential. You have this terrific person, this person who could be, walk in, pick up ballet dancing in an afternoon, you know, this sort of thing. You know, this person's terrific, but they don't know anything about ballet dancing until they go study it. So don't think they know anything about life. Now, if this person's been a ballet dancer and you clean up life and so forth, you can take the experience as ballet dancer and sort of plug it into the switchboard, but you'll find, oddly enough, that they're so stupid about where the switchboard is that they can never keep it plugged in. It's easier just teach them again to be a ballet dancer. They know nothing about the mechanics of putting in a bank. You could probably, one way or the other, fool around with an experienced channel of some sort or another and work the thing out and use the material, but you'd be working straight with Scientology. You'd be doing something you knew what to do with. You'd know what it was all about. The period I find the most trying in clearing somebody is that period when, full of beans and enthusiasm, they at once decide to steer a wild course and erratic enthusiasm, and it's all for the best, and they've got no data or education with which to find out what's best. They chrome around and they get themselves all involved and tangled up, and they'll come through it one way or the other, but boy, are they a random factor. And if they do that right at the time you're bringing them over the bridge, you see, if they do that and don't get any more processing from you, they really don't blow clear. It'll take them maybe 2-3 years or something. But meantime, the environment's kicking them in the teeth, and they've got no data on which to do it, and you've let them in for a rather unhappy time of it. So don't ever let a monster loose. Civilize them a bit and finish them off. Got it? Not that they're going to do anything to anybody. You're going to have a lot of subjective reality on this not too distant future. And you'll say, well, it's not quite the way Ron said. He only made 5 telephone calls that evening, and we were able to catch most of them. It's not totally bad. And he is sweet. He is being very sweet and considerate. Oh, yes, he's being sweet and considerate. There's no doubt about it. 4 of the telephone calls are so sweet and considerate, the people are spinning still. What? This fellow being sweet and considerate? I never heard of such a thing in my life. Must be something behind it. What has he found out? Oh, he must be sneaking up on me now. He's made these poor aberrated associates of his now completely adrift. And your responsibility is to keep them in session, finish them up, finish up the intensive, give them a few more intensives. And I just have a talk with them like a Dutch uncle. Anytime you start somebody up across the line, I'd let them go right on up as high as you can get them in a session. And after they cross the bridge, after the session, I'd end the session. I wouldn't let them go home for a little while. I'm going to say, now, see here, son. I know you're very enthusiastic, but you owe me a favor. Isn't that true? This is the favor you always ask them. Well, the favor you owe me is to, 1, don't start anything else till we finish the processing. And I'll tell you when it's over. I'll tell you when it's over. And you could do me another favor, and you owe me that one too. And that's learn something about life before you tackle it head on. Now, if you square that up, why, any gold in the direction of clearing is totally safe. But a person half clear poses another problem you haven't met with yet in this unit, particularly, but that you will meet with as you go on up the line. It's quite a surprise to you. Had I not had this experience, and had I not handled these people years ago, using a process not too unlike the process you are using right now, why, I could have gotten discouraged, too. I wouldn't have anything to really say about it and so on. But in matter of fact, it's not a big problem. The big problem has been to make clears, and we mustn't take our eye off of that. That's been the big problem. Now, the way we're making a clear is on this plan. You take somebody and put him under control enough to be audited on pictures. That's a subjective process. We must be able to command and control his attention. As soon as we have him so that he is subjectively under control and won't blow sideways, we then make it so that he can talk to us and will talk to us, and by that, what question mustn't I ask you, and so forth, and other things contained in your clear procedure manual are very germane, very much to hand. And then you start getting him interested in his own case by going on a track scout to find the incident necessary to resolve the case. And you're nice, smooth estimate of that incident, banging away on the E-meter, is your target. And you invite his interest into that target one way or the other. And you bring him right on down in the middle of that target, and you run that engram from beginning to end, and you run it in this fashion. What part of that incident, and you can add its date or time or otherwise identify it, can you confront? Thank you. But in this particular type of running, your acknowledgement must be very soft, quiet, smooth, and not interrupting the flow of the engram. You run that engram through from its earliest beginnings to its latest ending. Now, it is, in essence, a block in time, and sometimes a sequence of incidents are actually themselves just a total engram. There can be 14 years, and even as much as 100 years, all falling on your meter. So get the early and late end of the engram if you get the thing marked out. Now, if the thing is grouped in any way, it will have an early and a late, which is also very contradictory. Oddly enough, the thing will read in millions of years and read everything just as though the track were actually in place, but right at the place of the grouper. As you start pinning a grouper down, right at that spot, it will have the appearance of pictures flying into it or pictures stuck all over it. And people looking at the thing, the PC looking at the thing, and thinks he's looking at a darn billboard. And when I tell you that it has pictures plastered to pictures, I mean just that. It has pictures plastered to pictures. That's not an analogy. It just is. Now, running that grouper out is a considerable feat. And you might as well almost forget about anything else. Cracking a case like that, except hitting the grouper and running it out. There isn't anything much else will do anything for this case. He's being so tortured. Everything he thinks of flies into this grouper in one of these real savage vacuums with lots of heat or lots of cold in it. Gives a great deal of difficulty in running. However, you shouldn't expect it to be very difficult, because the truth of the matter is, if you just go around the area that dropped, locate the grouper, and then try to locate the grouper more precisely every time. Every time you locate the grouper, locate it more precisely. Get it down to seconds in the minute. You know, not only the year, but the month. Not only the month, but the day. Not only the day, but the hour. Not only the hour, but the minute. Not only the minute, but the second. Now, you get that darn grouper down to milliseconds, and it'll blow, because it isn't that broad, see? It's broader than a millisecond, so the fellow's confronting the whole of it. He's confronting the time sequence. All right, when we have this thing run, we have two choices. There are several things we could do. We run this incident, whether it's grouped or whether it's this or whether it's that. When we say that it's been confronted, it's at least straightened out and we've got most of the data out of it. We haven't finished it off, but there is a point where confronting itself starts delivering less bonus than it should. And at this time, it is faster to go off into one of several courses, which is to say, what part of that incident could you be responsible for, you see, and run that nice and flat. Now, this is another view of the incident. He gets a different reaction with relationship to this incident. It actually handles the picture-making quality with regard to it. Now, the exact point of change is a few commands after, or the session after, he has recognized the elsewhereness of the incident. That's when you change from confront to responsibility. When the individual finally tells you, not that the thing is in Spain, you know, the guy is in Spain. The incident isn't elsewhere when he says the incident's in Spain. Several people have made this mistake. It's the goofiest mistake you could make, too. When he gets the idea that the incident is elsewhere, you can shift from confront to responsibility. That is the rule, you see. That's easy. Now they say, well, he just said it was in Spain, so therefore he's got the idea it's elsewhere. No, he's in Spain. He says the incident's in Spain. Thing for you to do, if you don't have to do this, but you could do this. You could say, well, all right, the incident's in Spain. Where are you? Oh, he'd say, I'm right here. And you say, well, where's here? He's in Spain. Get the idea? Now, when he can actually tell you of his own free will that he's just gotten the idea that the incident is elsewhere than in the room, It's elsewhere than in the room, and elsewhere than where he thinks he is. When this elsewhereness turns up, it means the PC has the potential of being in present time while the incident is over in Spain. You got the idea? You got a separateness involved here. Now you can put him back in the incident, take him out of the incident. It's not going to seize him anymore. It's not going to knock him around anymore. He can be in it or not be in it. Fine, that's the time to work this thing over with responsibility. Now you think this thing is all whipped at that point. No, you've got to come back to it again. And you want to know what part of that incident and so can you confront, and then you add his second command, for how long? Until he can actually build back the tolerances. It's how wide is present time is the test of a case. And the reason an incident has continuum in time is the weirdest thing you ever heard. He cannot confront an eternity. This he's sure of. It's silly. Who can't confront an eternity, you know? But he says he can't confront an eternity. Well, if he can't confront an eternity, naturally, anything that is an eternity can't be confronted. Isn't that true? So all incidents then last forever. It's this silly rationale. I know that doesn't sound credible, but that's why the incident is that way. That's why it lasts so long, why it's carried along with him so long. Now, you'll notice that the worse off a case is, the less time span they can experience or view. You ever notice this? We call this attention span. The worse a case is off, the less attention span the person has. Well, the funny part of it is, the less incident time they can tolerate. And the less incident time they tolerate, the more endurance or continuance the incident has. Please study this sometime and observe it. Somebody who's sitting there, and he's saying, well, da, 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 da. You say, what's the matter? Oh, he said, I just go nuts, you know, sitting here waiting. I just can't sit here waiting in the hotel lobby anymore. I mean, and so. And watch that person, and he will always try to put you on wait. Got the idea? He can't stand waiting or being anywhere for any length of time. Well, if he can't stand waiting or standing or sitting or being anywhere for a length of time, then he always puts you on being somewhere, standing somewhere, and waiting somewhere for a length of time. Got that weird one? Huh? People who make you wait themselves are very impatient about time span. They just, you know. Well, now look, they can't be responsible for you if you waited anyhow, so of course they're making you wait, because they can't be responsible for anything that's waiting. And the longer you wait, the less they're responsible for you. The thing to do with such a person is never, never, never wait for them. It upsets them just like mad. Just never wait for them. They eventually snap around and realize that you're a pretty good fellow. You can't wait either, they think. So therefore, you must have a communication point. You think these people get furious. Actually, it blows up. Taxi cab comes up to the door, and the other person isn't ready. And you say, come on, you know, reasonable. Come on. Well, just a moment, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do this. And you hear footsteps rushing around in various directions. Just walk on out, get in the cab, slam the door, and drive away. Well, you'll hear from it a little bit. But what you'll be amazed about is that you don't hear from it more. After you do that two or three times, well, you know what? The person gets real friendly. You can't wait either, obviously. So you must be human, not an engram. Up to this time, they always were sure that you were a personnel and an engram. Sounds pretty wild. I'll tell you after a while, well, I sure appreciate your disciplining me to get me to be on time. You're not disciplining them to get them to be on time at all. You're establishing communication. They consider you an engram, and they make you savage them. They elect you the executioner and so forth if you stand around and wait for them. The more you wait for them, the more they elect you the executioner. It's pretty wild. Wrong way to handle that person's weight for him. Next thing you know, they expect you to kill him. They elect you the executioner. You become an engram to them. What they can't stand are things that wait. They just can't stand things that wait any time at all. And if you wait for them, they all of a sudden can't stand you. It's the weirdest thing. The smart thing to do is to get in the taxi cab and drive off. And I say, well, that person's human. It's not an engram after all. Maybe I am in PT sometimes. Get the idea? All right. This same mechanism is what gives engrams continuance. Therefore, the time factor of an engram... Now listen carefully. The time factor of an engram has to be handled before the engram can be considered flat enough not to return. The return of the engram, or the recharging of an engram, can and does, in some minor way, happen when you don't run time. This you'll miss. I just know you'll miss this sometime or another. Please don't miss it. They could confront everything in the engram for an instant. See? You know, you can run this as long as they didn't. Quickly, the end of the. You know, you'll find some of these engrams will run. Boom. 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 Think he was sawing wood. Everything's moving in. People walking their face. Watch one of them run sometime like that. Boy, if you tried to slow the person down in running it, he'd just freeze in the engram and you'd wreck the whole case. Just wreck it right there, bang. You'd have to patch it all back up together again before you could do anything with it. They can run an engram as long as it runs at quadruple, quintuple speed. Necessity to run things at quadruple and quintuple speed, whatever they are. You see kids sometimes turning on tape recorders or something like that and beefing them up to run double speed and that sort of thing. And phonographs that are set to run at 33 and a third, they try to run at 78 and that sort of thing, you know. Listen to it, listen to it, listen to it. If you looked into their engram bank, that's the way they'd have to run an engram. Get the idea? It ought to be pick, 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 you know, all, no time on that point. If we just keep going really fast, if we just keep going really fast, get everything real fast, we can be all get done. made it. Once in a while, you're auditing somebody. I'm sure all of you had this case. Just everybody here must have at some time or another audited a case like this. You say, well, mark up a bunch of grapes in the middle of the room and shove them into the body. Old creative process. Mark up a bunch of grapes in the middle of the room and shove them into the body. Good, thank you. Mark up a bunch of grapes in the middle of the room and throw them away. Good, thank you.
A person just starts saying, well, away the minute. And you say, what's the matter? Well, in order to get anything done at all, you'll just have to speed it up. You're just driving me crazy. And you'll say, now, wait a minute, what's all this? Hey, wait a minute, well, that's a trouble. Oh, now, as long as you do it fast, I can do it. But if you can't do it fast, I can't do it. How fast would you want it to happen? Well, Body.
And if you just say, great body, I'll be able to do it. Person, by the way, is practically around the bend. Don't make them wait or you become the engram. Now, I'm not advising you to speed it up. I'm not advising you to Q&A with this at all. It's the other extreme on the still picture. The person with a still picture, however, is better off than the person with the fast engram. Remember that. And this guy can at least still stop something. The guy with a still picture can at least stop something. And the person with the automatic running quintuple speed technicolor swish swishes, boy, that person's having a rough time. It's a rough time. Let them run it, swish, swish. But do you know that after such a case, or any case, has run an engram without any attention to the time factor? Everything is gone in the engram but its continuance. You're going to make this mistake, honest to Christ. You're going to say, well, everything is gone now, and we got everything all set. I don't see why we have to run a second command on this thing. You feel bitter, don't you? My friend said, yeah, oh, I feel wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Ow, ooh, ooh, you know. Wonderful. Stuck in another track incident, but that's okay. Let him go for a week or so. I used to get a somatic in that particular incident, and it goes, creak, 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 creak. Something goes creak, you know. They're sitting down enjoying themselves very, very happily, and I'm being son of a gun if something doesn't go creak, 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 creak. One little piece of it, you know. When I say there's just one little piece of it. No, you've got everything whipped in the engram but the time factor. You've got everything whipped in the engram but continuance. That's what you're trying to whip. Now, look, you found the thing on time, didn't you? You found the thing on time, right? Well, if you found it on time, you'd certainly better run the time out of it. And it's a tribute to my blazing genius that I finally figured out how these darn things went forever. Because I could never figure out, how can a PC put them there himself forever? Oh, no. Well, I know how this stuff is put there forever. That's pretty easy. It's not the same problem so much. But he's got an engram there forever merely because he can't confront it forever. And it's there for as long as he can't confront it how long. A person that you run the engram out on in a few hours at high rate of speed, one of these high-speed people, the very next day will have it charged up again. Well, it isn't charged up. He just got the next day version of it. You didn't erase that. The only way you can keep the engram erased is to stay at that instant of time when it was erased. Which, of course, is why he's stuck in that instant of time anyhow. Oh, this is wild, you know. This is one of the incredible things. So you have to handle the time factor. And if you handle the time factor on engrams, you must also realize that you must handle the time factor on something else. You must handle the time factor on what can you confront as a general, repetitive, total bank, HPA, BSCN level course. After the person has barely settled into running what can you confront, and he seems to be doing all right, and you're getting the track straightened out with just what can you confront on a repetitive question basis, now you've got to run in what can you confront and for how long. You see, you don't run it in it before he's comfortable. Or how long would that be? Well, Lord knows. If you're going to run what can you confront on somebody just to be on the safe side, why, let's say that you ran 50 hours of what can you confront, and I don't think you've totally gotten away with the case. You've got to now, certainly now, run what can you confront for how long. The funny part of it is you're better off to run it in a bit earlier. Run what can you confront in the difficult spots, and then when you kind of want to review the situation and look it over again, run what can you confront and for how long. The single test is, does the complication of the command confuse him? Is he still so involved with the incident itself that a complicated command will confuse him? If a complicated command will confuse him, just omit that and remember to run it later over more or less the same ground. Now, this is very fascinating that the goal of clearing should take the old route again of going through engrams. It's very fascinating that the routes and times, the various things that we could do to engrams, come back to the most effective thing to do is to confront and run the individual incidents with skill. But that skill, obviously, is the skill at this level of training and is not a skill at an earlier level of training in its full parade. Engram running, we consider an ACC technique. If somebody else runs it, it's at their own peril. We tried to do our very best by you with engram running. You're doing very, very well. We have no complaints. We're very proud of you. Thank you very much.